This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Don Drimmin on Joy 94.9, the multicultural show with Mark, Kevin and Hugh. Don Drimmin represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have any comments on the program or would like to ask any questions, you can contact us in the following ways. Facebook, Don Drimmin, Joy 949, SMS 0427, Joy 949, or on air at joy.org.au if you'd like to email us.
In today's show, we're speaking to Boody. Boody works for VicAids and organises and runs their GAP program, which is Gay Asian Proud.
Aaron Driven on Joy 94.9 with Mark, Hugh and Kevin. And you've just been listening to Susan Boyle's new record, You Have to Be There. I hope you enjoyed it. I think it's a good track anyway. Do you think so, Mark?
I think it's something you should drag yourself up to do. It sounds one of those drag songs to me.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, as I said, this is Aaron Driven, and our guest today is Boody, who is part of Peer Education, Young and Gay, and Gay Asian Proud. Welcome to the show, Boody.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
So, Boody, give us a bit of background about yourself first, before we get into sort of your multitude of jobs and stuff. Where about you from?
Well, I was born in Indonesia, and I came into Melbourne. It's actually twice that I came into Melbourne. The first one was back in the late 90s, without showing you my age.
I was
very, very young, you know, just straight from the cradle.
Yeah, we don't like giving away ages.
No, you never ask a lady her age.
The fact that Mark's 45, we never mention it.
No, until now. So that was back in the late 90s, and that was to do my university degree. And as the normal story goes, that 3 years of bachelor degrees becomes a 10 years postgraduate degree. So
is that just because you kept failing and you had to redo
it? I kept
every
failing, and the immigration kept calling me, and I have to have to pass something. So it was roughly been in Melbourne for 10 to 11 years, and I had to go back to Indonesia, live there for a year, and got employment back in Melbourne, so came back to Melbourne.
Obviously you prefer Melbourne, but do you miss your home in Indonesia?
I miss my family, definitely. That's a big part of my existence or my life. So, being back home for a year, to be surrounded by the family, it was a very rewarding experience. But to live, definitely Melbourne is the place to be. And for now, anyway, until I find a better city to move to.
But I don't think there is
until
one
you find
Australia.
A better city.
I don't know. I mean, you know, before the show, we've been talking about New York. So, hello, New York. Maybe I come your way.
Definitely worth a trip. Definitely.
What is it, the one thing that you miss about Jakarta?
If you ever been to Jakarta, it is a crazy place. There's traffic everywhere. There's people in every second, wherever you turn to. And the energy is amazing. There's nothing like it in Australia, I don't think, when you have a lot of people and they're very condensed space. And yet, it's still very much there's that sense of controlled element within the chaos. So I can't describe it by words. You just have to go there and experience it yourself.
So how long have you been in Melbourne now?
6 months. Back in Melbourne.
6 months back in Melbourne.
Back 6 months back, the second time around, yeah.
So have you settled down again?
I still live in an empty flat, but I just can't take the smile out of my face. I'm so glad to be back here.
That's good. And the weather's getting nice now, so.
Well, it's funny because when I arrived, it was 30 degrees when I left Jakarta and came here in May when there was a whole week full of rain and hail. So I stepped out from the airplane and it was 12 degrees outside and I was only wearing my t-shirt and jeans.
So what do you like about Melbourne?
Look, Melbourne has a very, it's a very cliche thing to say, but it has a very strong European culture to it. It's Australian, but it's also, there's a lot of ethnic diversity within it that's make you, Melbourne very unique, because I don't think Melbourne can be the Melbourne the way it is now without the Greek precinct and the Italian precinct and the Chinatown. So, I mean, and that's that sense of diversity is very, very unique and very rewarding as well. It's a privilege to be surrounded by a lot of cultural elements.
And you have all the different cuisines and everything else to choose from. Do you have that in Jakarta?
We do. Indonesian food in itself consists of multiple provinces and taste buds. So it's we have quite variety within Indonesia. Mm. On top of that, we have the Japanese and the Chinese and the Thai and the Italians. So it's definitely a place to go to eat as well. It's Jakarta.
So okay. Is that something you cook as well to do those?
I don't cook.
So when you were looking to move here originally in sort of the late 90s, how can Melbourne, what brought you to Melbourne the first time?
Well, definitely the appeal to me back then was I finished high school in Jakarta and there was an opportunity to come to Australia and to do the bachelor degree. Mm-hmm. And it was too good for an opportunity to miss. So that's part of the reason why I came here. And the second reason as well, part of a small part of the reason was to explore that the sexuality, because I knew I was gay when I was young, and I was actually out in Jakarta before I came here. But with the way the Indonesian society back then, it wasn't really explored, or it wasn't really it's there, but it's not talked about. So definitely, there's an element to find out more about my sexuality and to be in belonging to in a community.
Okay. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Booty Story very soon.
On Driven on Joy 94.9, and today we're talking to Booty.
Now, Booty, let's talk about GAP. What does GAP stand for?
Well, GAP stands for Gay Asian Proud. So it's a social support network for gay Asian men, their partners and friends. GAP started, I believe, back in 1997 or earlier, perhaps. And it's still going until now.
Okay. Just before I forget, for the listener, this song we've just been listening to was Hilary Duff with Love. Did you like that one, Mark?
It was boppy enough, yeah. Okay. You were dancing away to it, weren't you?
Yeah, I was bopping away. Anyway, sorry, we've gone off the subject there. So how did you get involved with GAP?
Well, this is back in the late 90s when I first came here, and I saw an ad about Gay Asian Proud. And back then, even though I know of my sexuality, there was still that element of wanting to know more or wanting to explore and wanting to do it in an environment that recognize and celebrate my ethnicity as well. Mm. So Gay Asian Proud as a group for gay Asian men, I thought it was very appropriate for me to join in, and I did. Back then, it was a 6 weeks workshop. It was free. It was offered by the Victorian AIDS Council, and it's providing a space for us to get together, and we discuss a lot of things that's relevant to sexuality and ethnicity.
Mm. So what's one of the reasons that there needs to be a separate Gay Asian Proud group?
Well, I think with gay Asian men in particular, there is that element of racism and sexual racism that can have a flow-on effects on the way we see ourselves as part of the community and the way we understand our sexuality and ethnicity in Australia. So for Gay Asian Proud, it was established, in my understanding, to provide a space for gay Asian men that celebrate their ethnicity and relating it back to sexual health, mm-hmm. and to explore the issues of racism and alienation, not only social alienation, but also sexual alienation, and how we can empower ourselves, but also educate ourselves about sexual health and have a risk minimization strategies to reduce the HIV transmissions amongst gay Asian men population.
Now, you talked about racism. When you first came here, for example, did you feel anybody was being racist towards you?
there was that element, and we have to relate it back to the way Australian federal politics operate back then in 97 and 98 when with the rise of One Nation of Pauline Hanson. And it was huge stories in Asia back then about a federal MP having a racist attitude toward Asian migrants. Mm. So that sense of racism obviously influenced the society, the Australian society back then, and also have an influence on the way the gay community and the gay scene operates back in the late 90s. Mm. So
do you think the press in your country, for example, maybe over-exaggerated it a little bit?
Look, I thought that was the case, but looking back now, actually what was being reported probably reflects the sentiment of the Australian society back in the 90s. There is that element of fear of the way that our country is being swamped by Asian migrants. And, you know, the element of fear, unfortunately, still exists now when we talk about the refugees coming into Australia, and the South Indians and the Middle Easterns and the Africans. So that's quite a lot. That's carried through. The ethnicity and the race might change, but the attitudes, I think, is still the same.
When you arrived here, did you see a difference between the racism in sort of the general population versus racism within the gay community? Was there a difference there? Or
look, sometimes it can be different, other times it can be the same. The things that's the same is that element of distrust and that element of alienating and make sure that you are not part of the majority, that creating a sense of, yes, you are here, but we don't really want you to be here. The difference could be in the regards to sexual racism, of the way the language used back then and even until now to indicate the no Asian attitudes or the no what people have been calling sexual preference, but there's an underlying, I believe there is an underlying racism to against Asians in general.
So when you say sexual racism, What exactly does that mean?
Well, sexual racism as a concept, let me just try to think about it and explain it in a very short, because it can be quite complex and long. So in a nutshell, sexual racism is the use of racial stereotypes to either reject men and women of a certain racial group or to overtly sexualize them based on these racial characteristics.
Okay. It sounds interesting, but we'll have to come back to it. This is On Driven with Mark, Kevin and Hugh. And our guest today is Budi, who is talking about GAP, Gay Asian Pride. And I'm sorry for the background noise, but we have a...
Sounds like there's some fun going on outside in Berwick Street. We're not quite sure what it's for, but...
somebody protesting about
we'll
something.
We'll just have to talk louder and play a bit more music.
Yeah.
Speaking of the music, that last song was Rasheen Murphy, You Know Me Better.
Now, before the music, this lady's voice in the background is really annoying me.
We were talking about sexual racism.
Yes, we did, yes.
We did indeed. So how has that changed from when you first arrived in Melbourne to now? I mean, from the Asian perspective, and then maybe it's moved on.
To the general perspectives. From my personal perspectives, I definitely have changed. Because people are more aware of it. People are try to explain sexual racism, most people have heard about it before. In the online personals and dating sites, definitely seeing less of phrases such as no Asians or no cams or Asian men, please don't contact me. So a lot of people not putting that in their profile anymore, and that's a really positive move. However, just because they don't put it in their profiles does not mean or does not always indicate that they don't harbor an element of sexual racism. So in a way, it is a good thing that we have moved so far to make sexual racism, to increase the awareness of sexual racism. And yet I do not want it to be seen as just another politically correct thing to do. Mm. I want people to actually understand where it comes from and also understand the effects that it has on people of ethnic minorities or other race other than white.
Right. What about in the 90s, how did you attack the HIV issue with the gay Asians that were coming into the country?
Well, with Gay Asian Pride, to my knowledge, it was established as part of a strategy in Australia with different AIDS organizations across Australia having an Asian projects. And the reason why they did that was they found there's an increased risk of HIV transmissions amongst gay Asian men population due to the presence of racism and sexual racism. So
how would racism and sexual racism affect the HIV?
Well, one of the damaging effects of racism is the sense of alienation and stigmatization, and also the presence of racial stereotypes. Try to understand it from the perspective of gay Asian men, not all of them, but quite a few of them, who's coming to Australia and expect people to be more understanding about sexuality and ethnicity. And yet, when they come here, they can celebrate their sexuality, but experiencing racism. So they heard phrases such as no Asians in on online. Then they go outside, they go to the gay clubs, and people just basically turn around and walk away just on the basis of their race because they look different. When you are constantly confronted with in this kind of situation, it is likely that you are more willing to put yourself at risk. And what I meant by that is having unprotected anal intercourse without condom.
So basically what you're saying is they put themselves at risk to be more accepted.
To feel that they belong, to feel that they that there's a sense of connection with their partners, their sexual partners, and to feel that they that they're part of this scene or this community that that we exist.
How do you tackle people who have not been educated at all? Because some countries, the education in HIV is limited, and I'm sure there's a lot of gauge in people who come to this country with no HIV education whatsoever. Do you actually educate them on health and everything else?
Well, it's going back to HIV 101, and in all of our workshops that we do at the Victorian AIDS Council, doesn't matter where you come from, even if you come from Australia, we actually educate them about HIV transmissions. People might know about it, people might hear about it, they can Google it online, they can research it. However, the practical implications of it can be a bit different to knowledge, and this is one thing that we do at Gay Asian Proud. Yes, there is. We give them almost a clinical sense about HIV transmissions and about what HIV is. However, we also put it in practice, about risk minimization strategies and whether you are willing to engage in unprotected anal intercourse with your partners, even though you have all this knowledge, because of the negative effect of racism and sexual racism. So we talk about it very candidly, and we talk about different strategies that you can use to not only protect yourself, but also protect the community.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to Buddy Story very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Kevin, Mark and Hugh.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And our guest today is Buddy, who's coordinator of Gay Asian Proud and Young and Gay. And Kevin's got a question for you, Buddy.
Yeah, back to the story you just told us before, like the workshop for the HIV educated. And are there any other workshop type of workshop you...
No, absolutely. There are four different workshops that we offer at Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Asian Proud being one. Young and Gay, that's for same-sex attracted men under 26. Yep. Momentum is for same-sex attracted men over 26. And the Relationships Workshop.
And how long does it take for the people go to the workshop?
Gay Asian Proud is a bit different because we changed the format of Gay Asian Proud a few years ago. It used to be a 6 weeks workshop, but now it becomes a once a month meeting, social gathering. Before I came to the studio, we actually just had a gathering when we went to Chinatown and have yum cha for lunch. But the other workshops, Young and Gay, Momentum and Relationships, they are still in the 6 weeks format.
So if I was interested in finding out more about Gay Asian Proud, how would I do that?
You can go to Victorian AIDS Council website, so that www.ficaids.asn.au. PRODAU, and that will the Gay Asian Proud is under Peer Education Program. We do have a Facebook page. However, I make it in as a secret group because of confidentiality issues. So good luck finding it. But if you know Facebook better than I do, the address is GAP Melbourne. So that's GAP Melbourne.
You do realize all these people know the computers are going.
My computer skills are fairly limited.
Or they can send you an email, maybe.
And they can send me an email at GAP. So that's GAP at FICAIDS, FICAIDS.asn.au. And I know I can spell. So
okay, that's all the hard work out of the way.
Now, one thing I'm interested in, you've got Gay Asian Proud and you've got Young and Gay. Why are the two different groups?
The two different groups because gay Asian men in general have a unique experience in Australian gay culture and Australian society. So Young and Gay momentum and relationships, that's open to everyone regardless of their race or ethnicity. That's workshops for men to discuss about issues on sexuality.
What about age? Because you've got Young and Gay and the oldest you take in there is 26.
Yes.
What about the Asian group? Is there any age difference for different groups? Or?
Well, yeah, the Momentum Workshops is for those of us who unfortunately is no longer 26, okay. And that's from 26 plus.
Right.
And the age bracket of Gay Asian Proud is every age, hey?
Roughly from early 20s to guys in their 50s.
Right. Yeah. Why do you have these age groups? Why don't you just have everyone together?
Look, for a few reasons, with Young and Gay, we want to create a separate groups because we found that young gay men do experience things differently, especially with their lifespan or their life experiences that's quite different from someone in their 30s and 40s. And also, we find with the guys in Momentum, the guys who are coming out later in life, they are dealing with other issues. Some of them were married. Some of them have children. So that's not necessarily relevant to the young and gay kids.
Mm. With your experience, Bodhi, do you find a lot of Asian men get married, have children, and then decide, well, I'm going to come out?
Look, this is going to be a little bit difficult for me to explain this because none of the people that I know directly are doing that. Right. However, I have heard people who are out and about in Melbourne, they go out, they're having fun, and yet they have to go back after their visa finish and follow that traditional conservative expectations of being heterosexually married and have children.
Is that family pressure? From your perspective in your country, are you pressured into getting married?
I think that pressures exist in a lot of cultures, not just Asian cultures. Mm. There's always this expectation to be heterosexual and to follow that heterosexual lifestyle, that is to get married and start a family, have a mortgage, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But I think especially with the Asian students that are coming here, they have the freedom to explore themselves, not just in their sexuality, but also other aspects of their personality. And yet, you know, there is that cultural, cultural and family expectations waiting them back at home.
Yeah.
But do you think? Do you say the Asian guy? And what do you mean by Asian? Like, what ethnicity they are?
Good question. I mean, we're talking about Gay Asian Prouds, and the Asian here refers to the Australian understanding of Asian, so people coming from Southeast Asia and East Asia. So our members mainly consist people from Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, China, Hong Kong, Korea, Taiwan, and Japan as well. And there's not so much of people who came from South Asian backgrounds.
Joy 94.9, this is on Orange Ribbon with Hugh, Mark, and Kevin. Our guest today is Bodhi from GAP.
So, Budi, we've just received a message in an SMS, and it says, go, Budi, from Peggy and Leonor of the Yellow Kitties.
Hello, girls. Thank you for listening. Now, I'll have to give the listener a little bit of information about Yellow Kitties. Uh-huh. Yellow Kitties is a support group for Asian lesbians, mm-hmm. and Gay Asian Pride and Yellow Kitties in the past few years have been working together to create a stronger sense of, again, lesbian Asian community or sub-community in Melbourne. So thank you so much for listening, girls.
So, Yellow Kitties. So, what do they get involved in?
Well,
how are they involved with you? Are they part of your organization or?
Yellow Kitties is actually separate, so it is not part of Victorian AIDS Council. Now, Victorian AIDS Council / Gay Men's Health Centre is focusing more about men's health. Yellow Kitties is a separate group run by Peggy and Leo, the Confina, and they're independent to us. However, we, in the past few years, we recognised that why do we do things separately when we can actually combine the two together without losing our autonomous or our primary objectives? The Yellow Kitties group, in my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, girls, is to provide a support for, like I said, Asian lesbians, their partners, their friends, and it is about celebrating Asian female sexuality, okay. and creating a space for them to exist. Now, Gay Asian Pride is for Asian men.
Right. Now, you have a new group that you're thinking or trying to start, and it's South Asian.
There's the South Asians group, so it's called the South Asians Connection, and it started, we used to have a South Asian support group in Melbourne a few years ago. However, that group has since no longer exists. I don't know what's happened to them. So one of our volunteers is actually one of the volunteers from one of our other programs, the Outreach Project, came to us and said, hey, look, I'm South Asian, and I've been talking to this guy from South Asia as well, and we realized there's no group for us. Will you be interested to support us, or will you be interested to create something for us? So we said yes, and we are at the moment in the process of finalizing it and working, brainstorming ideas to not only to create this group, but also to make sure that the group, the longevity of the group, so it's running of many more years from now.
So just for the listener, just explain South Asian. What countries are you targeting?
So with South Asians, the countries that we're targeting are men from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Maldives, and Nepal. So within that Asia subcontinent, I believe.
Yeah. Right, right. And how do you think people from these countries are going to take this group? Do you think it's something that's going to get off the ground, or do you think?
Well, we want it to be get off the ground because that's the whole reason why we want to establish this group. There's been a lot of questions about the difference between Gay Asian Pride and South Asian Connections. Mm. Why do you want to create another groups for South Asians? Why don't you just do it include them in Gay Asian Pride? Now, my understanding of the South Asians' cultures is quite different from Southeast Asia and East Asia. Southeast Asians and East Asians tend to have a similar cultural link or cultural heritage. Now, South Asians quite different to that. They also have different experiences in the gay community from what I know and relating it back to sexual racism. Yes, we are seeing less of no Asians.
Mm.
That, unfortunately, has been replaced with no Indians. So, that level of racism is still there. And also tying it back to the way the Australian society with the anti-Indian immigrant sentiment that's happened a few years ago, that has a flow-on effect to the way the gay community operates in general.
And how do you see that group forming? Is it going to be a social group or a workshop-type group or...?
Oh, look, I think the organizer of the group, hopefully that you can interview him at one stage. He can provide a better explanation. What I want to see in that group is to have a social support network for these men to get together, but at the same time to also have a structure so they talk about being South Asians in Melbourne. They talk about coming out and the difficulties of coming out not only in their home countries, but also within their own ethnic communities here in Melbourne. You know, so hopefully once we finalize everything, hopefully he'll be able to join us.
So just looking forward now, so with the GAP and VicAids, what events have you got coming up?
Oh, we got quite a few now. Gay Asian Pride, as I mentioned, is a social support network and we meet once a month. Part of Gay Asian Pride, something that's new and exciting because it's new, is called Talk Asian. Talk Asian is a bi-monthly workshop. So it's a drop-in sessions for gay Asian men only. And it's a forum for us to talk about our sexuality, our ethnicity, and to celebrate our uniqueness in the gay community. So the next one will start in November. I'm supposed to find out the dates and I completely forgot about it. But go to the website and there will be dates in there. So okay, that will be later on in November. We also have a fundraising between the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council and Gay Asian Proud through Victorian AIDS Council. So it's a fundraising event on the 7th of December. We are going to screen a DVD called Courage Unfolds, and it's a documentary on GLBTIQ activism in Asia. So it's explore the challenges that they are facing, but also celebrate their achievement, and it's a very moving DVD. It's only 30 minutes. I have to hold back tears when I watch it because I was at work, but it was very moving. So that will be on the 7th of December at DNM Bar or the Old Exchange Hotel at 119 Commercial Road.
And how much are tickets for this event?
Tickets is going to be gold coin donations, and all the proceeds will be will go to AGMC and VAC.
Now, what is it you're doing at Christmas?
Yeah. In Christmas, Gay Asian Proud is a tradition, you know, it's been going for years. So what we want to do in Christmas, Gay Asian Proud and Yellow Kitty, is to get together and have an end of year function. In the past, it has been Yamcha because we love Yamcha. But who doesn't love Yamcha? But this year, we might do something a bit different. So once again, all the details going to be put on the VAC website once we have finalized everything.
So is there a membership required to join this, or can just anybody contact you and just turn up to the events?
Anyone can contact me as long as they're gay and also come from Asian backgrounds. Now, Gay Asian Proud also open to their partners and friends, and their partners can be Caucasians, they can be Asians, they can be other people of different ethnicity. So, you know, it is open to them as well.
But it's one thing that you said to me, it's not a pickup point.
Definitely not. Definitely not. We are very strict about that.
Right.
Look, you know, if it is a pickup point, then we are not doing our job, really, because it is about providing support. It is about providing space for gay Asian men to celebrate sexuality and ethnicity. And if it is a pickup place, then I'm sorry, but there's other places that you can go in Melbourne to pick up.
Okay. We'll come back to Boody's story very soon.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and we're talking to Boody from Victorian AIDS Council and the Gay Asian Proud group. Just before we wrap up, but one of the things that you've got coming up in January is a Civil Partnership and Immigration Forum. Tell us a bit about that.
That's correct. Now, this is a very exciting collaboration between Gay Asian Proud and the Greek and Gay group. We've been planning a forum on the 14th of January about civil partnership and immigration, and it's basically it's open to all members of the GLBTIQ community to find out more about civil partnership, the registration, and the law that operates in Victoria. And on the second half, we will talk about immigration policies and how it affects same-sex couples, and we'll be joined by someone from the Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force in this forum to provide the explanation and also to give people some information about the services that's available to them, so they don't have to do it themselves. There's actually groups out there.
Okay. Tell us the phone number and your website again so that the listener just knows exactly
where... We're going to test you again.
Spelling test. Okay. If you want to know more about Gay Asian Proud, please call 9865-6700. Or even if you want to know about Yellow Kitties, then you can call the same number on 9865-6700. Then I can forward you their contact number. And we're also available on websites at www.ficaids.asn.au. So that's ficaids.asn.au under peer education program.
Now tell me, Budi, how do you get your funding to keep GAP going?
Well, it is funded as part of the peer education program at the Victorian AIDS Council. So we got our funding from Department of Health and also other sources, our funders and our benefactors.
So do you have sort of dances and everything to get money coming in? Or?
Well, at the moment, there won't be any dances or anything. But the fundraising that we do on the 7th of December, part of the proceeds going to VAC and it is going to be used to support the peer education program, which includes Gay Asian Proud.
Okay. And how do you advertise, especially for the South Asian project that you want to get going? Where do you advertise these things?
There will be advertising in the community newspaper, so MCV and Star Observer. There will be a Facebook page set up. There will be flyers going around during midsummer, so there will be some advertising out there.
Okay.
Well, hopefully when that starts up, we can get you back on and talk about the South Asian group.
That will be great. Thank you.
Well, as you can see, the music's finishing, so that's the end of the show, almost.
Yeah, that is On Driven for another week. Our thanks to Budi for taking time out to have a chat with us today. Also, thanks to Heath on reception for his programme support. We'll be back next Saturday afternoon with more insights at GLBTIQ community here in Australia and, of course, around the world. Have a great week. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.